You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Friday morning, everybody. I am Glenn DeGee coming to you from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Friday, June 5th, episode 3965.
Ooh, brought to you today. Close.
I know, we're so close. Closer. By Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse people.
Well, good morning, everybody. We have a special show planned for you today. We have Lisa Wysocki joining us. She has finished the filming of the movie that you all know about because we've talked about it endlessly. But she's coming on to just give us her impressions of how it went. And she's had a week now to recover and, you know, get some sleep. So she's going to tell us all about that. I'm so excited to talk to her. I haven't had a chance to get the final rundown yet. We have some really bad ads. I have some history for you. And we have other stuff we're going to talk about too. Well, guess what happened? We've been talking about it for a year now. We've been warning people about it. We've had special guests on about it. Screwworm has hit Texas.
No.
Yes, the United States Department of Agriculture has confirmed a case of the flesh-eating New World screwworm in a calf in Texas, putting everybody on high alert. We've talked about screwworm. I don't think I need to go through what it is. But you know what's ironic is one of the ways they control screwworm is just what we were talking about the other day. They do the fly release, the same thing we were talking about the other day with the mosquitoes. They release millions of sterilized male flies into the wild to stop the females from reproducing. And that's how they...
Have they done that yet?
Yes, they have. They have done that in the past, which makes me think like we were jumping the gun and thinking that this was going to be a terrible thing about the mosquitoes, the 16 million mosquitoes in California and Florida. But who knows? Maybe it'll work.
Well, you know what's crazy is like, how on earth? Okay, say you release 16 million sterile screwworms.
No, that they release the flies that carry the screwworm.
Right. But say you do that, what they're going to do is do that same thing for the screwworm. Yep. How do you guarantee that everyone is sterile? Like, I mean, you know, with the, like
very big microscope.
How many times have people been like, my husband had a vasectomy, but I got pregnant? It just doesn't make sense.
We need to get somebody on from one of these factories that does this particular thing, because I really want to know how that works. We had the people on from the fly predators, and he kind of explained that, but I got to know how this works, because you're absolutely right. Do they run it through like these big microscopes looking for parts? I don't know. I don't know how that works. Anyway.
Science, baby. Science.
We'll never understand is what it comes down to. It's beyond us.
From the podcast to the barn, here's some hidden birthday wishes to keep you warm.
Well, we do have one auditor birthday this weekend, Mary M. Happy birthday to you. And also Ellie, host of Heels Down Happy Hour. We also have a couple congratulations because it's been baby week here in the auditor group. Auditor Lindsay had her new baby boy. Very cute. She posted pictures of a photography session she had done that was really cute. Also, Auditor Hannah on her new baby girl. And what's ironic about both of them is we saw both of them and had spent time with both of them on our roadshow all those years ago. So congratulations to both of you. We hope you enjoy your new kiddos. And you know what? In a couple of years, you'll get some sleep again. So that'll be good.
I know. And then in a couple more years, they're going to get married to each other. One boy, one girl. It's like perfect.
Match made in auditor heaven.
I know. It's like awesome. Okay. So my daily Winnie goes out to the very generous listeners. Do you remember that horse I had named Candy Fugitive? And he came to me And he had a chip in his ankle and a back leg, and he was lame. And so he couldn't go to work. He never was able to race because of it. And he was donated a horse and hound, basically like, here, you deal with our problem. And we figured out that he had a chip in his ankle after taking all his x-rays and doing all this stuff. And listeners donated money to Horse and Hound to help pay for the surgery, which was awesome. Now it gets even better because Candy Fugitive had a very successful surgery. It is done and he's currently rehabbing at Horse and Hound. He's on stall rest and then hand walking. Yeah. So in about a week, he gets to start doing more. And there's like, you know, the whole back to work program and the whole therapy stuff. Well, he's coming to me and I'm going to do all the therapy for him. And wow, that's super exciting. And I love the horse. He's very sweet. I mean, I almost think we have an adopter for him in Florida already. Like it's really, really cool. The most exciting thing about this whole thing is I told Nelda at Horse and Hound, I said, listen, send him to me. I will do all the rehab for free. I'm not charging it. Not that I charge a lot for training anyway, but like, I'm not even charging board. You just send him, just send him. And she was like, okay. And I said, here's the catch. I was like, I'll take him, but we're going to trade. You have to take Groot.
So Groot's going to go live out his life at the rescue?
No, just until Candy Fugitive is done. But here's the thing. Groot has become like, he just needs to be reminded how lucky he is to be here. Okay. Remember the quick catch up. Groot is my thoroughbred makeover horse who has been sold and returned and sold and returned and sold to other people. And then they returned him to me. He's been back 5 times. Okay. 5 times this horse is. And when he first came back this most 5th time, he was like, I am a perfect angel. And I am so sorry. Like you go to bring him in. He's like, hold on. I have to poop outside before you bring me in. Like, I mean, perfect. He's been great. Well, now he's like, not so. He's taking for granted the lifestyle that I am providing him. Okay. Now he like, I was like, your job is to like babysit horses. Like when I get one in, your job is to sit with him. He's now kicking everybody. He's like, I hate all of you. He just wants to go be with Amigo. And he runs the fence line when Amigo disappears out of view, which is kind of like a Stockholm syndrome kind of thing because he hated him at first. And now he loves him. And I'm like, you've fallen in love with your captor. Okay. Like you need to be so. So now I put him in another paddock and then I put other horses in a rotate. He's kicking everybody. He's like major running the fence line, screaming. He's just a complete butthead. So I told Nelda, I was like, I will take Candy Fugitive, but you have to take Groot, and I want you to put him in a paddock with a horse that is going to put him in his freaking place. She goes, I've got the perfect horse. So I got the perfect one. So when Groot goes back, he's going to go spend some time with Cheesecake. Be in the paddock with Cheesecake. Groot and Cheesecake is match made in heaven. So I'm super excited to get Candy Fugitive back. And I am even more excited to let Groot go get reminded that he's lucky to be here and to make a little bit. I don't know if horses think like that, but man, when he comes back that 6th time, he's going to be like, you're right. I'm sorry. I've messed up.
If you think it, we always say names kind of reflect the actual attitude of the critter or the human. If you think about Baby Groot in the movies, he was had that attitude. He kind of was good until he wasn't, you know? Yeah.
So how come the horse named Cheesecake is the one that's going to put him in his place?
You know what I was shocked at coming up this weekend? It's Belmont. I forgot Belmont was even running. It's just one of those things that unless there's a Triple Crown, you go, oh, yeah, there's another race.
Yeah, but this one's cool because Golden Tempo, who is Sherry DeVoe's horse, she's a trainer, and he won the Kentucky Derby, and she was the first, you know, female trainer to win the Kentucky Derby. She made this great decision for Golden Tempo. It did not run him in the Preakness. He is a horse that, like, is a closer and he likes the longer distances. So this race is setting up perfect for Golden Tempo and hopefully he's going to be all good shape. But I wanted to go through the names because I could break down all of these horses and the reasons why they may or may not win, but you don't care about that. All you care about is finding the name and picking the winner from the name. So I'm going to spend less than zero time on this. A little bit more than zero time and just give you the names.
You're right. I absolutely don't care. But Golden Tempo, what I am surprised at is 9-2 is not the favorite in this race. He wasn't the favorite in that race. He's not the favorite in this race.
Well, I could give you all the science, but I'm not going to because you don't care. So here are the names. Number one, post one, in the post position, post one, Vitruvian Man. And then I was like, what the heck is a Vitruvian Man? It's actually that Leonardo da Vinci drawing with the man in the circle, you know, with the arms out. Vitruvian Man is. So I was like, that's interesting. So we've got that. Number two, post position. Number two is a horse named Power Shift. Then Chief Wallaby, Renegade, Ottenho, I don't know. Growth Equity, Commandment, Emerging Market, and Golden Tempo. So there's only 9 horses in the race, okay? So I don't think that we need to pick the top three. Let's just go for the winner. I mean,
if I was to pick based on finances, Emerging Market, Growth Equity, and Power Shift could all be in there in the top three, right? If we're basing it totally on finances.
See, but here's what's happened is the people that own these horses just lose money on the horses. So I don't think that it's going to really help out or shape out that way.
One by name is going to be hard. But, you know, I picked this horse before, and I think I have to pick it again if I'm going by name. And that's Chief Wallaby, because that's just Chief Wallaby, great name.
Because it worked out so well for you last time. Let's do it again. I mean, aside from my heart wants Golden Tempo to win because I just think that's really, really cool. I do love Chad Brown, but his two are Growth Equity and Emerging Market. So I'm going to go with the other. I do love Todd Pletcher, too. So I'm going to go with Power Shift, Renegade, Ottenho. Let's go. Okay, I'm going to go with Ottenho because it's the only Chad Brown one that doesn't sound like money. What is him with his money ones?
Must be related to his owner, I think, probably.
He didn't name him. Let's see, what is Ottenho? Let's see.
Oh, it was named after a family. I looked that one up. It was named after the family that the Otto, the family. It's a homebred colt for Three Chimneys Farm. And it means little Otto is what it means in Portuguese. Little Otto. It was some family name or something. It got confusing and I gave up.
Well, if their name was Otto and then they're like Ottenho, I'm like, that is offensive. Like they're calling
it's Otto and then name Ho. They added the suffix inho, which means little or junior. So
you know what? I don't care. Otto.
It didn't have as good a story as a Vitruvian Man. So
that's true. That's true. So I'm just going to go with the one shot. You know what? This is just a stab because I really do hope Golden Tempo wins, but I will tell you that at some point on Saturday, I will bet every horse in a different way because I have an app and I have like, I'm in the black. So obviously I've got to whittle that down.
So you got some money in the account. We're going to use it. Do you know, I went on that cruise and they even have a non-smoking section in the casino now on this cruise, but it's right beside the smoking section. So it was still smoked out. I didn't play blackjack once. Aren't you proud of me?
No, why did you do that?
I don't know. I just never ended up playing, and I had brought money along to play blackjack and everything. I think blackjack's just more fun when you have somebody you know that's sitting beside you, so you can have fun with it. I just think it's more fun to have somebody you know.
Did you buy the drink package where you just get free drinks?
Are you kidding? The drink package now is like $100 a day. Per person, and both of you in the room have to have it. So that's $200 a day. Do you know how many drinks you have to get? It's 8 to 10 a day. I can't drink 8 to 10 alcoholic beverages a day. I can't.
I mean, if I'm on vacation and you're challenging me, I might be able to.
I can't. I would buy them and I still ended up way ahead. So, yeah. Because I drink maybe 2 or 3 a day, not 8 to 10.
Because they do they go through your suitcases and make sure you're not sneaking booze in?
You're allowed to bring a bottle of wine each. You can't bring hard liquor or anything, but you're allowed to bring a bottle of wine. Like, we could have brought 2 bottles of wine along. So you're allowed to do that. They do allow you to do that, but that's it.
So how are they going to know? Like, say
they check everybody's luggage when it's put on the ship. They scan everything just for security more than anything. No bombs or guns or stuff.
Sure, they don't care about that. They just care about booze, the bottom line.
You get scanned every time you come in the boat. You have to go through security every time you come in the boat, even from shore excursions. It's just like the airport. You take off your belt, all that stuff when you go in back onto the boat. They're very security conscious that way, which I'm glad, you know. Don't need somebody running around with a gun.
When your horse loses significant amounts of electrolytes and fluid as he sweats, problems such as dehydration, muscle cramping, fatigue, tying up, and colic may occur. Even in mild forms, these conditions can have a negative impact on your horse's ability to perform and recover after exercise. Research shows that electrolytes help regulate nerve and muscle function and maintain a healthy fluid balance. Summer Games Electrolyte is formulated to replenish electrolytes and trace minerals that are lost when your horse sweats, regardless of the season. It also stimulates the thirst response so they continue to drink and stay properly hydrated. For more information, visit kppusa.com. That's kppusa.com.
Well, y'all know her. She's been on this show 1,000 times, and we had to wait till she recovered back from filming her movie. Lisa Wysocki is here, and of course, she just got done filming her first movie about her first book, and I'm sure it's going to be one of many. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good. So I talked a little bit on Monday's show about my experience at your movie for half a day and how much fun that was. But you were there. What was the total number of days you were recording?
I think 3.5 weeks.
Filming, Glenn.
There you go. Thank you, Jamie.
The business term.
I'm so used to recording.
Yes.
So it was, 23 days or something?
I think something like that. Yeah. Yeah. Or 24 days, maybe. 24 days, I think. Yeah.
Now, when your day, filming day, is different than a regular hour day, because you guys film to 2 a.m. a lot of times. It was crazy
hours. Oh, yeah. Yeah, but so we had a 12-hour film schedule, so that what that meant was it was an hour and a half to load in, and then it was 12 hours of filming, and then an hour to an hour and a half to load out. So, you know, that's a 15-hour day. And then a lot of times we were an hour away from where we were staying, so sometimes those days were 17-hour days. And as you said, we were out till the longest we were out was till 4:30 in the morning.
But
what that meant was our call time was 3 in the afternoon. So we filmed from, 3 until 3 in the morning.
Yeah, but everybody was still up for 24 hours. I mean,
Oh, yeah.
How do the performers do it and keep their energy up at 1, 2, 3 in the morning?
I don't know. I have not figured that out. And, everybody on our set, we were so lucky because everybody was great. I mean, everybody had a good attitude and there was no complaining, and at least none that I heard. But everybody had a smile on their face, at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I'm okay, I'm just dragging.
I don't know how they do it, to be honest, because they're memorizing lines, having to do all the emotions and everything. And that's tough to do when you're alert in the morning, let alone the next morning when you haven't slept at all.
Oh, I know. So Katie Hubbard, who is, I think, 21, and she plays Darcy, the teenager with the trust fund, she had to, get mad and cry at 4 o'clock in the morning. Now, that might not be real hard because she was probably ready to cry anyway.
She's probably mad anyway.
but she did such a great job. I mean, I'm holy cow, how do you have all this emotion and stuff built up with you and held for that amount of time and then just release it just perfectly?
Okay. Well, I have some questions because my thing was just the surreal nature of being there. What was it like to sit there and watch your words come to life right in front of you, in real life, not in your head?
You know, it was really bizarre. You know, I had a previous experience with a book I co-wrote called Front of the Class that became a Hallmark movie. And it was so weird just to watch it on TV and hear my words just come right back to me. It was different, though, Jamie, with this because it's fiction. Front of the Class was a nonfiction book. And this was fiction. And so it was like, wow, this is just kind of like in an alternate universe kind of a way. It was really kind of weird.
What surprised you? You've been sharing the things that surprised you along the way. So what are a few of those things?
Yeah, so that, no, not everybody really needs my help. I try to help people, and I try to be useful. You know, it's like they don't need me; they're fine on their own.
And so, the corner, go sit in the corner, did. Lisa.
No, no, no. Did they ever say the words, "Lisa, go to your trailer"?
We didn't have trailers. We had corners. We had corners.
Go to your corner.
Like oh, go sit. You can sit down now, Lisa. It's okay. We've got it. Like, okay. So everybody was so knowledgeable and so good at their jobs, you know, and I know that I was getting in the way, but I tried.
Now, you know what they say, Lisa, you're like, everybody was so wonderful. No, no, no. There's always one. And yes. If you thought everyone was so wonderful, do you know what that means?
That was me.
That means it was you.
That was me. No, actually, there was one person. You're exactly right, Jamie. There was one person. I won't say who it was, but
that's fine.
It was me.
Well, I won't confirm or deny that.
I was impressed by several things. One is the cast. You know, the cast was great, and they were all very friendly and talked to us, and you know, it was fun that way. But what I was a couple things, Jamie. So 6 hours after the day starts to the second. Mm-hmm. By law, you have to take lunch. So literally, they just got done filming a scene. It was like lunch, you know, because it's
and
6 hours,
like and that's frenzy. Time to cut. And we had the best food. We really did. The local restaurants gave us great deals, and they came in, and they catered all the stuff. It was really good. I don't know what you had that day, but it was good.
So what I was trying to get at is the amount of legal rules around filmmaking that were just seemed like nitpicky, but I guess they're there for a reason, right? So that must have been something that was interesting for you too, is to see all of those rules.
Oh yeah. You have to do it this way, you have to do it that way, and I'm sure there are rules that I have no idea why they are there, but it's just like,
union,
okay,
baby.
Just gonna follow. But we were a non-union project.
Really?
And really, yes. And the reason for that was there were so many union rules.
So this was only a partial number of the total rules.
Yes. So a lot of it was insurance. You know, insurance requires you do certain things a certain way. And I looked at the insurance thing. It was like, I don't know, pages and pages and pages. And they were like, okay, do you have somebody up on a lift? Yes. Are they wearing a helmet? Yes. Are they strapped in? Yes. How high is the lift going? If it's more than 15 feet, then you have to have this whole other page of stuff. And it was just bizarre.
Jamie, he put the drone up to film during one of our scenes, and it was a 15-minute safety briefing on the drone for all of us.
Yes. Yes. And Herschel Zahn, who was our first assistant director, who was also our drone operator, he's got a big voice. He's got that yes, big voice. Everybody listens to Herschel.
Yeah, he has a commanding voice. So, Lisa, are you spoiled rotten now? You had a freaking driver. You had hair and makeup the whole time, and you weren't even in the movie. I mean, are you just – did you get home and go, well, this sucks?
Kind of. And I will say, I didn't always take advantage of the hair and makeup, but if I had – like a meeting or someplace to go, I might have slipped into that chair a few times.
Well, they were all over the place fixing everybody up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. And such nice people. I mean, they were just great. And I had an assistant, and I probably shouldn't share this, but I'm going to. And so we utilized students from Asbury University's film school, and they were just so amazing. We had 22 students, and one of them was assigned to me, and he didn't have a whole lot to do, you know, because here I am sitting in my chair in the corner. You know? So he didn't have a lot to do. So So he, every 10 minutes, is like, Miss Lisa, would you like some water? No, I have water from when you came by 10 minutes ago. I'm fine. Thank you. You know, can I get you something to put your feet up? No, I'm not quite that old, but thank you. Thank you so much. You know, and so then it was hot. We were in this basement and it was hot and I'm kind of, you know, waving my fan. He starts fanning me with his hands.
Oh my God.
He starts fanning me. Did he feed you drapes? Yes. Bundle. Yes.
And I said, no, that's fine. You don't have to do that. And then this poor, sweet kid, he apologizes and says, oh, I'm sorry. I'm doing it wrong. I'll get some cardboard and make it bigger.
Oh, my God. Listen, buddy. If you could just sit about 3 feet from me and just blow on my face, just blow. That'd be great. Thank you.
Poor guy was just trying to do his job.
I know. And actually, about halfway through the movie, I asked that he be reassigned just because he didn't have anything to do. He wasn't learning anything. So.
Yeah, well, so, that's probably true.
You fired your first assistant.
I did. I know. It was, and I felt so bad for him because he was so, I didn't want to hurt his feelings, you know?
Now, I have a question because, like, this is what happens. This is what you always hear, that when you're on a film set, working with kids and animals are like the thing that everybody hates, right? And what did you have? Kids and animals. How was
yes.
that?
It was the best. Those scenes went the smoothest ever. They were so amazing. They were great.
So the horses picked the right horses? The horses were good?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The horses were phenomenal. Austin Bourne, who played Bubba, he is the most wonderful kid ever. And
he's a big jerk.
No, I loved him. He was great. He was exact opposite. When I met him, I went, you can't. I told him that. I said, you can't be Bubba. You're too nice.
He's got some scenes, though, that are just, I can't wait for everybody to see them because he really gets in Cat's face a couple of times and he can be a little snotty little kid. So
how about the horses? What kind of horse scenes did you do?
Oh, so we did a lot of, so the horses had to work at liberty. So for example, we had a scene where one of the horses had to walk across a paddock, drop her head to the ground, and then walk to a specific actor who was standing by the fence on the other side. And these are not trained movie horses. They were just horses that one of the other producers and I, we just scoured the whole South Central area for Appaloosas that we felt would be great for these roles. And she did it. This horse's name was Phoebe, and she's a national champion English pleasure horse. She's 17 hands tall. She's just way cool. And so we just used hand signals and shoot her along. And then we dropped some peppermints in the middle of the paddock and she found her way to the peppermints. And then we'd kind of shoot her over to the other actors who had more peppermints. And there you go. We got the scene in like two takes. It was great.
Wow. That's so cool. And then not to be whatever, I'm still a little hurt that you had a Homer lookalike, but I guess
we
fine.
Did. I know. And so her name is Fred. She looks exactly like Homer.
She does. So I met her. She does. Like Homer.
And so Fred, the female roadhound, plays she's a female dog, but she plays a male beagle mix and she did very well. She did very well. And but she has like more followers than anybody I know. She's got like 8,000 followers somewhere on social media.
So she's
everybody
more
knows
popular
Fred.
Popular than Homer.
That
I
might
mean,
be it.
Come on, let's get realistic here.
Now, does Homer have his own Instagram account?
I'm too old for Instagram, so I don't run any Instagram accounts. But I will tell you, I actually met Fred at the Kentucky 3-Day because she was in a booth. Yeah. And super sweet. Oh my gosh. And I just was like, I want to snuggle you because I miss Homer.
Yes.
They do look so much alike. It's crazy. And
I will say she blew some takes because just whenever she would arrive on set, everybody would stop and look and say, Fred's here. And so the camera people would be like missing their shots and the actors would stop. And it's like, Fred's here.
What was the record for the most number of takes in a scene?
You know, you can interpret that a couple of different ways. So this is something that alerts. So you have a scene and then you have these setups within the scene. So you have like the two shot where there's two people and then each person has their close up. And then you have the over the shoulder shot and then you have the drone shot. So you might have like, I don't know, 15 different angles and shots within one scene.
And they don't do it all at the same time. That you do the scene over and over and over and over again.
Shots. Yeah.
So that's rather eye-opening, isn't it, when you see it done?
Well, and for some reason, they chose to go with one camera. And I think the reason they did that is Bobby Baldanza, who was our director of photography, is so phenomenal. He is so good. I think they didn't want anybody else behind the camera. He's that good. Yeah.
Your director was really good, too. He had a way. What was his name again?
Brad Etter, yeah.
He had a way of making even the extras seem like they were the most special people. You know,
Doesn't he
really did a good job of making everybody seem like they were very important.
he's what I call like an actor's director, because he can pull stuff out of people that you have no idea is in there. I mean, he's so good at that.
He does it in such a smooth, slick way that you just know he's rooting for you.
Well, and he's so kind. And we all joke that we had to get him a T-shirt because he would say, "Perfect, let's do it one more time."
Yeah, he did do that. He did that with us a couple of times. Oh, that was great. Let's do it again.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think, you know, that the big thing that I really loved about this whole thing was meeting the cast and the crew and the location hosts and the horse owners and all of that. It was just, you know, so many new friends. You know, it was really sad to have to leave when it was over.
Ironically, this is so crazy, Jamie. She ended up having, I say she was an assistant or something. One of her assistants was one of my cast in the acting company 35 years ago.
No way. That's crazy.
Yeah. Carrie Peterson was so great. And she was just a rising star in there. She's an actual Asbury student. She just got her master's in something film related. That's how we ended up with her. And, you know, as somebody who has raised 10 children, as Carrie has, man, she had that life experience that we really needed. You know, and she's so calm in the face of, oh my goodness, we're running out of hard drives and somebody has to go to Best Buy an hour away and try and find these ginormous drives. And she's like, "No worries. We'll do it. We'll get it done. It'll be fine. We'll go during lunch. It'll be okay."
When you raise 10 kids, there isn't much that's going to faze you.
No.
And she homeschooled all 10.
I know. Yeah. I know.
One of her daughters was there too, who I hadn't seen since she was a kid.
Yes, yeah. Mercy, who goes by Mackie, and she was great. She ended up in Hair and Wardrobe, and I mean, she could make a career out of that. She was so good at finding clothes and accessories and, you know, keeping track of everything, which is a nightmare.
So when he was with me, Lisa, she was 16 years old, and she started with the acting company. She was our neighbor, and she started the acting company at 16 years old, and
wow.
She was so good at improv. She played a mud wench. And she was so good at improv, and she loved getting dirty to do the. She wouldn't do makeup mud. She would go outside and dump a bucket of water on a dirt patch and roll around in it. I mean, she was into that role, and she did it so well.
Oh, Glenn, so this makes sense now. So we had Bubba at a location that was a trailer, and he comes out of wardrobe, and he's a little too clean. And I said, you know, Bubba's kind of a neglected child. He needs to you know, muddy up some. And so Carrie, I mean, right away, she got a paper plate and she got some dirt and she got water.
She had a lot of experience with that.
She did. And so that's where that came from. That's great.
She was covered in mud for years.
Yes. Well, she came right back to it because she knew exactly how much water to put in that mud to make it work.
Yep. She's actually in the picture I have above me in the studio here of the cast. She's down in the front probably when she was 16. So how small is the world that I end up showing up and she's there?
I mean, just amazing.
Yeah.
Every experience we have leads us to the next thing.
Well,
you know?
One final question. Were you happy at this point? Obviously, you got to go into post-production and that can change things. But so far, was it the story you envisioned? I know things change and you had to change.
Yeah, things change.
But overall,
I'm thrilled. Overall, I'm thrilled. So, you know, so we'll see once it's strung together. The editor says probably mid-August we'll have something to look at. So yeah, so I'm excited.
Right now, you're in the process of selling it. So we don't know who's going to be, where it's going to be aired at this point.
We kind of do, but I can't really say. Okay. We think we do, but yeah. Right, but it will be, we're hoping January or February, you know, all of these streaming platforms and cable networks and everything, they start Christmas now, like in September.
I know.
I mean, everything's a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
So this isn't a Christmas movie, so it'll be after.
Interesting.
After the holidays.
I did have a conversation, I won't say with who, on your set. And, I asked him specifically, I said, why is this kind of movie now with Heartland and Yellowstone and all those out there? But why is this kind of movie, which is more, you described it the other day, it's the cross between
Heartland and Murder, She Wrote.
Murder, She Wrote. It's exactly what it is. It's Heartland and Murder,
yes.
She Wrote.
And I love both those things. So
see?
But that's what he said, that these networks have gone so much into violence and police shows and, you know, blood and gore that they're realizing they're missing a whole category that Heartland mm-hmm. found. And
yeah.
So they're all going after these more innocent family shows that even kids can watch. And they're realizing they need to add those in. So for you, timing is perfect.
Timing was great. And, you know, just the right people came along at the right time, whether it was investors or cast or crew or, you know, locations, everything just kind of gelled. It was really, really awesome. And
well, now,
so
it's got to succeed because we are in books through 2 through 5. And
yes.
We need to get to book 2 so we can be in it. Right.
Yes. Well,
I'm
you
a big
sort
fan
of
book 3. Book 3. Come
book
on,
three.
Book 3.
Book Well, you're mostly in book 5.
Yeah.
Oh, it was 5. Gosh, why
you
a long
in
way to
5.
Wait?
Yeah, I know.
It was 3. Dang it.
You're 5.
We were in the others, but it was just cameos, and I'm pretty sure that my scene in this movie will get cut. So no, I won't be in it all.
Oh, no. You're in a big scene.
Okay.
You have a big scene.
Okay.
It's a pivotal scene.
Okay.
So,
good.
Yeah. you and Ashley and Heather and Sarah and everybody who was there. It was
Ashley,
so wonderful.
Ashley and Heather. You tell those two to be loud and obnoxious and scream things. You had the right two there.
And Bronwyn Hart Irwin was there. Jason Irwin's wife was
I love both of them.
Isn't she great?
I love that couple. We get along so well, and I talk to him all the time. And the fact that she was there and I got to hang out with her was just a pleasure.
Yeah.
They're in California now, I think, at the Western.
The Western States, yeah. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. Well, Lisa, congratulations. And also, you have more exciting stuff real quick. Is your indoor done or your covered arena done?
The covered arena is done, but Jamie's, she's always like 2 steps ahead of me. So hers was done first, so.
I'm sorry. I have a covered round pen. You have like all of it.
It's 70 by 110. Yes, it's done. And the house is going up. The caretaker house is going up at Colby's Army. So I'll get out of the shed. I'll actually have running water in a bathroom sometime soon. So that'll be exciting.
Life goals, Lisa. Life
Again,
goals.
Let me back up and point out that you got the cover done before an indoor bathroom. So
priorities.
Priorities.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on everything, Lisa. We're so happy for you and so proud of you. And it was so much fun to be a tiny part of it while we were there. That was great.
Oh, well, I'm just thrilled that you were there. And Jamie, you're going to be in the next one. So,
and Lisa, thanks for coming over for the awards breakfast, too. I know you were very busy, but you took the time out to do that. And it meant a lot to me.
Oh, it meant a lot to me to see you get that. And your speech, as Jamie said, was wonderful.
Well,
it was fabulous.
Yes.
So
it certainly wasn't
it really
what
was.
I planned.
but it was the right thing. It was the right thing for the right moment.
I'm trying to get a copy of it. If I get a copy of it, I've had some auditors ask to hear it. So if I can get, I think Ashley filmed it. I'll get the audio and put it at the end of the show. Sometime.
Oh, that'd be great.
But yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, Lisa. We appreciate it. Take care.
Talk to you guys later.
All right, bye.
Home and I are ready for the next one.
Okay.
That's right. It's time for This Day in Equine History. And I have two short ones here for you, Jamie, but then I have to admit, the third one, I went down the rabbit hole, and I think you're gonna, I think you're gonna find the rabbit hole interesting, because it actually involves a horse movie, so we'll talk about that last. On this day in 1865, things were winding down for those massive Civil War cavalry depots. So the Civil War was over, and I've often thought about this, and I wondered, you know, they had thousands and thousands and thousands of horses in these armies. What happened to them after? Well, when the war was over, the government had to figure out what to do with all the horses. And if you remember right, they had basically stolen most of these horses out of farms and from people as they pillaged their way along. We're talking huge numbers. The garrison in Washington, D.C. had 20,000 horses on their own, just at one garrison. So they auctioned them off. That's what they did. They auctioned them off, and most of them were bought by everyday farmers. So it's ironic that the farmers ended up having to pretty much buy their own horses back.
That is crazy. So like, hey guys, we're going to confiscate this for the war, and then, oh, you can buy it back.
Yeah, you can buy it back at the auction. But that's what happened. Most of them were bought back to be farm horses and probably enjoying not getting shot at anymore. And on this day in 1879, the legendary Comanche, who we talked about recently in a history segment, you know, it's the buckskin gelding known as the only survivor of the Battle of Little Bighorn, was officially moved to Fort Meade, South Dakota. The Army basically gave him a retirement filled with luxury. He was even issued a special decree saying that he'd never be ridden, worked, or even tied up again. Instead, he just hung out, roaming free, and... Oh, by the way, they did work him a little because he ended up in military parades draped in mourning cloth as a guest of honor at military parades.
Okay, let me just stop because like when I think of like, okay, I'm going to live a life of pure luxury. No offense, South Dakota does not come to mind.
I thought of that too, actually. I thought, couldn't you ship them to Georgia or, you know, Tennessee or even Indiana?
Like, I mean, everybody retires to Florida. Let me go there.
I thought of that too. All right, now my rabbit hole. By this weekend in 1998, The Horse Whisperer was a massive cinematic that was a massive cinematic gamble, turned into a major box office success, grossing $187 million worldwide, but they had a budget of $60 million to make that movie. But now in today's money, that $187 million is $400 million. So, and you say, well, that doesn't sound, you know, like a big number, because we're used to seeing Star Wars and, you know, that kind of thing. But got to consider, this was a three-hour-long, slow-paced drama. I mean, it was not a fast-paced movie, but it made a ton of money on word of mouth. People heard about this movie, they wanted to go see it. It opened at number two in the U.S. behind Deep Impact, and it stayed around. Apparently, it stayed in the theaters for a very long time. Of course, it was based on a Nicholas Evans novel that was very popular at the time. As well. But I ended up going down the rabbit hole. Do you want to hear some things you may not have heard about this movie before?
Okay, please. Okay, can't wait.
First one is, who do we all think the Horse Whisperer was? Everybody thinks this.
I mean, like Robert Redford, right? It's supposed to be.
No, but I meant based on.
Oh, well, the whole thing is, I'm not going to, I'll just let you say things. I don't want to talk. Say things I'm not supposed to say. Well, I'll say it. So like, it was supposed to be Monty Roberts, right? They were going to talk to him about it, but he didn't want to be involved in it because it ends up in adultery. And he was like, I don't want to be a part of that.
So wait,
doesn't that sound so Monty?
Well, yes, it does. So while the movie was fictional, obviously, of course, you know, Tom Booker was played by Robert Redford, as you know, but I didn't realize, and I don't know why I didn't realize this, but his technical advisor on set and his actually riding double was Buck Brannaman.
Yeah.
I don't know why I didn't remember that, but Buck Brannaman did the intense horse handling scenes and the riding scenes and all that stuff. But it was based, the author based the book on Monty Roberts and Tom Dorrance. So, so it was the author that basically based the book on those two. And now people think, you know, you do. Through time, things change a little. I think everybody kind of thinks of Monty Roberts. I don't think Tom Dorrance so much anymore. But there's a lot, bunch of trivia here, too. And it's been a long time since I've seen the movie. And probably, I don't know if you've watched it at all, but it's been, how long ago? It was 19, 98. So it's been a long time. So obviously, Scarlett Johansson was in it. She was 13 years old, and she had the starring role as Grace. You remember the traumatized girl loses a leg in the opening riding sequence. It was Scarlett Johansson, but it wasn't Scarlett Johansson that offered the role initially. It was Natalie Portman.
Oh, really?
She was cast in the role and ready to shoot the role, but backed out because she got an offer to star in a Broadway adaptation of The Diary of Anne Frank. And she chose the Broadway, probably bad move, because...
I mean, I think it worked out for everybody, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, she did all right late, you know. But Scarlett Johansson, this was the movie that really put Scarlett Johansson on the A-list, you know. It really made her at the age of 13. To make the horse, remember the horse's name was Pilgrim, to make the traumatized horse Pilgrim look aggressive or like he was talking, trainers didn't use peanut butter. Everybody thinks they used peanut butter for Mr. Ed, too, and they didn't.
He wasn't talking in it.
Yeah, but I'm making look like, you know, like they want to make him look like his lips are moving here and all that stuff. Yeah. So they used invisible nylon strings. I don't know what they were attached to, and touch cues. So they would use the touch cues to simulate emotional distress. So that basically clicker trained him to seem
be distressed. Mad,
yeah, exactly. So a running joke in Hollywood at the time was asking why a ranch movie about horses could cost $60 million, because that was a huge amount back then. That rivaled all the big movies. Apparently, most of the budget went into the Montana filming locations, and they used a specialized high-speed camera rig to capture the beauty, and it was a beautiful movie. I mean, that was part of why people went to see it. But they really wanted to capture the running horses and all that stuff, and they knew they needed these high-speed cameras to do that, so that was where a lot of the budget went. The horse that plays the untraumatized version of Pilgrim was an acting horse named Hightower. Hightower was the George Clooney of Hollywood horses in the 1990s. This is so good. And he was in a bunch of movies. So the horse that played Pilgrim was in Runaway Bride, The Postman, Winter's Tale, was in all these other movies. So he was like the go-to horse for big movies back then. So the tragic scene opening sequence that featured the accident was, remember, it was snow-covered winter morning. It was filmed in New York in the heat of summer. The crew had to cover a massive chunk of a state park in tons of fake chemical snow, shaved ice, and white blankets. The actors and horses were completely baking in heavy winter coats and trying not to sweat to death. So that was filmed in the summertime. Yeah. So, and there were a bunch of different horses that actually played Pilgrim on the journey through the movie, and they had a total of 5 different horses that played Pilgrim. They had one horse that was designed to lay down on command, so that one would play Pilgrim when that was needed. They had another horse that was used for high-stress rearing or running away scenes.
It was a chestnut. That's easy to replicate.
That wasn't too hard to find. And then they had a third one that was chosen for close-up shots because it was exceptionally gentle and could look at the actors with total trust. You know, had googly eyes. So that's why they did that. And just like we talked to Lisa, the author, Nicholas Evans, was heavily involved in the early phases of production. He was so passionate about the adaptation that he actually snuck into the film as an extra. You could see him during one of the scenes with the big cattle branding party at the Montana Ranch. He was in there in full gear as one of the extras, but apparently was heavily involved. Kind of like Lisa, they probably told him to sit in the corner too. So do you, in the book, this is what a lot of people that never read the book won't know. So the end of the movie, and this is, you know, this is partly Monty too, his feelings again about the end of the movie too. At the end of the movie, Tom Booker watches the family drive away to a peaceful future, giving the movie this hope and, you know, all of it at the end. It was this happy ending. Well, in the book, Tom Booker is crushed and killed by a wild stallion while protecting Grace and Pilgrim. And the director refused. He said, we can't have him watching a 3-hour movie and then have Tom Booker get killed at the end. That's just awful. So they changed.
I mean, like, maybe this is unpopular opinion, but I hated this movie.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
I hated the message. I hated the horse. Like, I'm like, come on. Okay. So you're going to tell me that this Supercat, which, by the way, love Robert Redford, and I thought Scarlett Jo was great in it, but I hated the rest of the cast. And you're going to tell me that, like, all of a sudden this cowboy from Montana is like wooed by this big city, you know, businesswoman whose daughter's a mess and whose husband's
today it would be a Hallmark movie.
And then they end up together, and like the only way he can gentle the horse is to lay it down.
Save the Farm movie? Wasn't it really the first Save the Farm movie when you think about it?
To save the family, but then like we're gonna save the family, but then he's gonna bang the wife. Like it was awful. I hated it. It was cinematography was lovely. Lovely.
Yes.
Horses are beautiful.
And it was Scarlett Johansson. Freaking hours long.
I read the book and I was like, this sucks. And then I saw the movie and I was like, this sucks too.
It still
like,
sucks.
I hated all of it. So I've never said that out loud. And you know, you can actually send your hate mail to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com.
I don't think I ever made it through the whole movie.
I just was like this. And then the scenes of him working pilgrim in the round pen on the ranch. I'm like, could anybody look more stilted and like less natural? Turns out it's Buck Brannaman. Well, you know what? I didn't like it. I didn't like it. And I'm going to get hate mail, or maybe everybody agrees with me. I don't know. Maybe it was just me. I've never said this out loud. Hated the movie.
I think a lot of people under 40 haven't seen it. Don't you think?
I don't know. Don't waste your time.
Movie. Yeah, this was an older, and it was 3 freaking hours. And in that day, if you remember right, movies in 1998, even the big blockbusters were no more than 90 minutes. I mean, they were an hour and a half. Movies were an hour and a half back then. It was only recently that movies became 2 hours and 2.5 hours.
Thanks, Avengers.
Yeah, it was Avengers that really made movies longer. Back then, if you got 90 minutes in a movie, you were lucky. So 3 hours was awful. I'm kind of with you, but anyway, I went down the rabbit hole on it and had to share.
You just reading all this has just brought it all back up to me and like the gag reflex in my
So longtime listeners will know. Sometimes I bring stuff like this up that I know is going to rile Jamie.
You did not know. But I didn't know this
one. No, this one I did not have any idea. I didn't have any idea. Sometimes I do it when I do know, but this one I had no idea. So
I am like, as you're describing this, I'm biting my nails. Okay. Like, huzzah.
All right. Well, now take a deep breath. Because we have to do this.
It's time.
I say, pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader. Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. But tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if the talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It is time for Really Bad Ads, that time of the week when we read listener-submitted ads that they found on Facebook or Craigslist, and we just have a little bit of fun with them. It seems like forever since we've done this, probably a month.
We have, and that's why we have so many people that submitted that will not be in it, but you are in for the drawing.
Hold on 1 second. The drawing... I have a box of crap this month. It's been a while, but I've collected some crap. So the prize this month is a box of crap, and I can tell you that it's probably really crap this month. So don't get too excited about winning the box of crap, because I do have some stuff I need to get out. I cleaned. One of the things I did on the break when we got back is I cleaned my studio. I had so much crap everywhere in the studio. I threw a lot away that I didn't think anybody'd want, but I have this box sitting here that I need to get rid of, so it's going to one of you. So
it's also like a box of swag. It's not actually poop.
No, it's not poop. It's just crap that books and things that have been sitting around my office I want to get rid of. So there you go. So that's
it's your like yearly clean out.
Yeah.
You're like, should we donate it? Yeah. No, just give him the box crap.
Yeah, just send it to a listener. That's perfect. All right. So you want to go through the list of people we're not going to get to this week?
Christy, Stephanie, Susan, Faye, Rebecca, Michelle, Beth, Shiloh, Ashley, Katie, Amanda, Caitlin, Aaron. Glenn, we can't take this much time off. Okay. I'm glad nobody else did.
They stack up. Tegan sent this one in. It's in the Mini Horse and Pony Networking page. There is a page for everything.
Everything.
Oh, this doesn't have any punctuation. Why didn't I give this one to you? This is PG. He is a 2-year-old stud pony. He is 32 inches high. He is sound and has no injuries or issues. He needs his feet done, and he is not broke to ride. We brush him and spray him down with fly spray and all. He is located in Aberdeen, North Carolina. If interested, PM me or text.
Oh, it's a little devil pony.
Yes, I mean, looks like a
again,
devil.
I don't feel like 32-inch high ponies should be broke to ride. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, unless you got a really little person, and I wouldn't put them on this pony. You see this pony's eyes? A little white mini pony that looks like the devil.
Oh, and its hair is just electrocuted. I did, however, it's funny. I got a phone call from somebody, and they wanted me to. They had a daughter who just got a pony and they wanted me to train the pony. They didn't know what it knew. They didn't know how rideable it was. So they sent it to me. I don't know if I've ever told you this. So the pony comes, probably not because they live really close. So the pony comes and it steps out of the trailer. And I was like, what? They brought a mini over, Glenn. A mini. For me to like start under saddle and get rideable for their daughter.
You wouldn't need the mounting block.
I weigh more than this pony, you guys. So this poor little girl is so excited about having this pony. And I was like, okay, come here, sit down with me. Let's have a little chit chat. This is not your dream riding pony. By the way, of course, they had like massive bouts of laminitis in the past and they were fixing all that. I'm like, this is a laminitic, like 20-year-old mini pony. Like you can't. No, I'm sorry. I'm
it's a good
sorry.
Backyard this pet, but you're not going to be riding it anytime soon.
It's like, imagine you walking your dog. That's how you're going to spend time with this horse. They still have the pony. He comes up. Actually, they bring him over every time they go out of town because I babysit. I'm like the dog sitter.
You probably crawl under your fence.
Oh, God, she's precious. But like, I was like, she's not your ride. Like, but again, sending me a mini to train to start to undersettle for their daughter. Not going to happen. Okay, next, Savannah sent this one in. I don't know why I went on that tangent there, but whatever. This is from a Facebook page that Jen cuts out Facebook page names, so I don't go visit them. And I don't know why I think I would go to this one to buy it. Okay, so this is a picture. Oh, God. It's like the same thing. It's a picture of a mini wearing a ginormous Western saddle in
the stirrups go to the ground.
Buck. In full buck. And the stirrups are still hanging on the ground. Oh my God. The saddle is like from mid neck to almost the tail. Okay. Here's the ad. Parents with mean ass little kids with nothing to do. Don't let them lay around this summer. I got them a project.
Okay, so this person puts this saddle, and they're wondering why the mini is bucking around the round pen.
I don't think they're wondering. I think they are just trying to be funny, and they're jerks. They're trying to pawn this off on some of my children. And I always be like, man, I got some mean-ass little kids.
Like, see if we can hurt them. All right, Rebecca sent this one in. This is Coach Jen's comment about it. This horse is for sale via Classic Horse Auction. The place to go for horses who are not exactly as advertised, but close enough to keep the seller out of court.
Oh, God.
That's a good description, Jennifer. Here we go. Oh, it's a long one, too. My name is
Mufasa.
Mufasa. And I am here to respectfully submit my application as your new emotionally supportive life partner. Oh, this has to be AI written. I am only 4 years old, but unlike Chad from high school, oh, Chad, it's sticking, Jamie.
No, it's Kevin.
It's sticking. Chad, I've heard Chad more than Kevin.
It doesn't matter. Everybody can stay away from my Chad anyway. He's perfect.
I'm only 4 years old, but unlike Chad from high school, I already come emotionally stable, fully trained, financially unnecessary, quiet in public, confident in groups, dependable under pressure. Current hobbies include trail riding without drama, support.
To be fair, I think my Chad is all of those things. He's emotionally stable. He's fully trained. Well, he's financially necessary. He is quiet in public and he's confident in groups and dependable under pressure.
I think you're the financially unnecessary one.
Totally. I'll take that every day.
Let's see if these are Chad's hobbies too. Current hobbies include trail riding without drama.
Nope.
Supporting.
It's way funnier if you put it on me.
I didn't read this until now.
Get through it.
Supporting unconfident women.
That's not me. I'm fairly confident.
Playing horse soccer. Liberty work. Can you get Chad to do the liberty work? Does he do it?
Yeah, he's really good at it.
He goes at it.
I mean, here's a cookie. Go, dude. Go pick that up. Bring it to me, good
this
boy.
This is much funnier about your husband. Looking majestic for absolutely no reason. He has that one nailed. In his uniform, he has that one nailed. Oh, God. Oh, bonus. Unlike most men, I am easy to catch. Are you easy to catch?
I'm not the man. It's Chad we're thinking of here.
Is he easy
it's not
to catch?
Me.
I don't leave the toilet seat up.
That's true. He does not do that.
I can actually carry emotional baggage. He's pretty good. He's pretty steady Eddie, that guy.
I mean, my husband is a pro at that. Because I come with it.
He couldn't possibly carry all yours. I don't complain about one more stop at the Tractor Supply. He might do that. He might complain about one more stop.
Yeah, he might do that.
Currently employed at all-inclusive horse retreats where I safely carry beginner and unconfident riders without needing an ego boost afterward. Okay, this ad was much funnier about Chad, by the way. So, but this ad didn't have a butt, which means there's a ton of butts.
I don't understand. Well, I mean, for real, like, what the hell is it? Is it a 16 hand? Is it 12 hands? No,
they forgot to put the actual things you need to know.
Yeah. In the price, I don't know. Oh, the good news is this next one really fills in the gaps. Okay.
All right.
This is from the Facebook page, Horses for, one of my favorites. Horses for sale in South Carolina, North Carolina, and Georgia. And Faye sent this one in. So here's a picture of a horse eating on the fence. And yeah.
Can't even see its face.
Can't see its face. It's just got its face in a bucket. Well, at least they're descriptive. A horse. Horse emoji. Stallion 7 years half. A quarter mile.
What? Half a quarter mile?
I have no idea.
Isn't half a quarter mile an eighth of a mile? I don't know.
Seven.
Is that a certain half a quarter mile? Does that mean he can only run for an eighth of a mile?
They at least let us know in the beginning it's a horse.
Yeah.
And with the descriptive horse emoji. Yeah. Stallion 7 years half a quarter mile. That's just a bad ad. Good job, Faye.
Julia sent this one. Oh, you forgot to say it. Go ahead and say it. It was a stallion.
Oh, it's a stallion. Oh, come on. No, we've already had a mini stud and then this stud. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's it.
Julia sent the trailer of the weekend. And this is, we're staying in the South today. The Arkansas Ponies and Horses for sale. Message me of interest. If interested.
No.
For sale. No. Message. Massage no. me. If
Glenn, you give everybody too much credit. For sale, massage me if interested.
I gotta tell you, you probably have more people interested in massaging you than buying this trailer.
I wouldn't touch this guy or the trailer.
It's
gotta be a billion pounds.
Oh, this is one of those old metal horse trailers that's a gooseneck about 40 feet long. And most of it's rust, so it probably doesn't weigh as much anymore. But if you notice, the inside is just full of stuff. I mean, this trailer's falling apart. It's 15 different shades of rust. It's full of stuff. I don't know if it comes with the stuff or not. You could probably negotiate that. And
do
then
you know what, though?
You probably negotiate the massage, too.
You can get it for a massage. That's all you have to do.
Did you notice something truly unique about this 1950s trailer? It has air in the tires.
It does? Well, I was noticing the ramp that I'm pretty sure if a horse put a foot on, they'd go right through.
Not made for horses.
Amanda sent this next one in, and this is from the Facebook page SPCA of Wake County. Okay. Peace and blessings.
By the way, you know where Wake County is?
I don't.
Durham and Raleigh, North Carolina.
Oh, hell, it's there you go.
We're
peace
staying in
and
the
blessings
South.
Please and blessings are so nearly feral, we can't even handle them to get a picture, so we made you a drawing. This may honestly be the first time we've had long-timer gerbils.
There's a drawing of two little gerbils.
Oh, my God. And they're smiling. Okay, back to it. Oh, so their names are Peace and Blessings, and they're gerbils.
Is that
okay.
As southern as it gets or what?
Peace and Blessings. Okay, this may honestly be the first time we've ever had long-timer gerbils. These aren't your typical get-them-for-your-kids gerbils. They will bite your children. Blessings will attack you if you mess with his tunnels, and Peace will attack you no matter what. The only safe way we've devised to clean their enclosure involves oven mitts and a bowl. There used to be a third gerbil, but, and this is real, they ate him. What? Which understandably traumatized their owner to the point they could no longer bear to keep them. Which brings us to today. A pair of gerbils out of a Stephen King novel, probably on a few watch lists and definitely not getting adopted unless we do something drastic. So, do you have no kids, thick skin, a love for gerbils that surpasses their hatred for you? If so, please call us. Not your cup of tea? No problem. Maybe you can still help by sharing. After all, there's a lid for every pot, right? Oh my God, Peace and Blessings need to be fed to a snake.
I don't think they're allowed to do that at the SPCA, but I bet you they somehow escape one night. And
I feel like we need to post the gerbil drawing on Facebook or put it as like the show notes. You know how you do like a pick two pictures in the show notes? Yeah. Make Peace and Blessings one of those pictures, please, because they're just so creepy.
Oh, you sent the next one in. Do you want to do it?
Sure.
And why are you still looking at the Andalusian Facebook page?
Listen, algorithms, baby. Algorithms. I have no control.
Okay.
This is from the Andalusian PRE and Lusitano Facebook page. There's no punctuation in the whole thing. Okay. ISO Andalusian or Lusitano. Tiano can be wheeling up to 10, no maintenance, good. Confirmation green. Under saddle would be okay mare or gelding that someone would trade for a top. Line large, registerable, half Welsh, 2 year. Old colt, out of most titled Sec A Welsh stud in US will be a large stands. What? 13 hands now, Black Bay, right? Now, Black Bay, or a four-year-old reg half Arab WTC small jumps, phenomenal. With children was shown by 10-year-old sat for 6 months, needs refresher 14.1, really. Smart mare could do any discipline, East Coast preferred, stay this way. Because of shipping, just thought I'd try. They are quality ponies. I just don't have a rider anymore and have had a lot of changes and would just like a personal horse.
Are they what seeking the a hell horse? Selling a horse? Did I just don't even read. Understand what they're doing.
Let's see. If I break this down, I can't. My brain hurts. But I don't think it's breakdown. I think they're trying to like trade a multitude of horses that are not trained for a trained Andalusian or Lusitano.
That is a bad ad. You That's found a really ad. Good bad ad.
Thank you. Thank you.
Aaron sent this one in. I don't know where it's from, actually. If you're looking for that perfect little pony for your kids to bond with, keep looking elsewhere. God, we have a theme today. Elvis will have your children doing whatever you want them to do if you return him.
What?
Have your children. why are these ads so bad? He bites because he feels like it. Horses kick him because he's annoying and he doesn't care. If he doesn't want to stand while you brush him, he will lay down on the concrete. The scream occurs with every horse he meets. He does ride. He just goes where he wants. Kids beg to get off him. His strong point is his only cuteness. His strong point is his only cuteness. He is 6. I saw a horse try to lift him by the neck, probably to toss him out of the pasture, and he thought it was fun. He knows how to roll under your fencing.
R-O-L-E.
He can get everyone riled up and roll, R-O-L-E, under the fence to watch the chaos unfold. Is this Scooter?
Of all the words to misspell, roll is a pretty easy basic word.
His ideal person is an inmate at the high security prison. Whoever buys him can't return him. He chases chicken, bites cows. He bites cows' udders, and dogs will only meet him once. He is good for farrier. Well, that's good.
Oh, there you go.
His one. God, he looks like a little terror. And what's a picture of him biting a horse's neck?
Yeah.
We've had the theme today has been hell ponies. That's what it's been. And hell gerbils. That's what the theme is.
Hell animals and massages for trailers.
Well, thank you all. You picked out a damn good bunch today, that's for sure. And now we've just wasted so much time. We don't have time for post show. I apologize, auditors, but we've just spent half our day doing this show.
This is fun. I just want to point out, if you want to see something pretty cool, I mean, I'm not done, but I did have to post a video of it because the horse kind of went off. I quit posting about him, but it's this new horse that I talked to you guys about, Cool Oaky. And I started him as normal and got him to where he was wearing the saddle, long lining. Buck the Bear rode him, and it came time for me to get on him, and Ginger was holding him, and I climbed up on the mounting block, and that horse was like, pitch, gone. And I was like, that was weird. So I climbed up on the mounting block again, pitch, gone. Like, you climb up on the mounting block, and that dude was like in another county. So by the time I got a video of it, I climbed up on the mounting block like 10 times just to see what happened. So I put that in a video with 2 days of mounting block training. And so I'm not done. I was pretty proud of this. So you can go see that on my Facebook page. I'm pretty excited. Yay. So we'll see how it goes.
And I've had a couple requests. If you could do this on Monday, I've had a couple requests for the fireworks training again.
So July 4th coming up.
Yeah. Why don't you do that on Monday? We normally only do it the day before, which is too late. So let's do it a month before. Yeah,
let's give people a little time to plan.
So we'll do that on Monday. Let's not forget that.
And I have a pile of new horses I'm going to have to do this with too, because they're turned over since last July. So you're right. I got to get it done. So I'll make a video of it too.
July 4th training on Monday. We'll do that on Monday's show. You have a great weekend, everybody. It was so fun to be back chatting with you all again. And we'll talk to you here on Monday.
All right, everybody. Spay, neuter, geld. Feed the gerbils to some snakes. It'll be fine. They ate their own kind. They deserve it.